So today we're going to be discussing the topic of testosterone replacement therapy or testosterone supplementation, and the focus will be on the types of testosterone therapies that are currently available. We have both short-acting and long-acting therapies, and we'll have an illustrative case to review so that we can get a better understanding of why certain therapies may be more applicable for certain patients. The array of testosterone formulations that are available, each has its own unique dosing and pharmacokinetic properties. Hypogonadism is usually a long-term and chronic condition, and so many individuals stay on therapy for a indefinite period of time, well over 6 to 12 months, often for years. So it's important to align the types of therapy with the patient's goals, and so we will be discussing a case and highlight that in the case. Using the testosterone therapy to allow patients to optimize their treatment outcome is important, and specific therapies are very helpful in allowing patients to attain that goal. You have daily therapies, we have short-term injections, we have long-term injections. So we have a myriad of things that can be used to allow the patients to meet their needs and allow the patients to achieve their goals. Some patients prefer daily application of a gel, for example, to various parts of the body, for they just might find that to be most palatable. They sort of have a routine, and that seems to work well for them. And other patients find that to be somewhat distasteful or uncomfortable, or they may travel, or they may have other issues where they do not want to apply gels to the body on a daily basis or do not want to use patches on a daily basis, so a longer-acting preparation may be more suitable. And as clinicians, it's important for us to remember that all of these formulations exist, and it's appropriate to discuss all of the treatment options with the patient so that they can decide with you which one would be most beneficial for them. So it's, in many instances, a mutually beneficial discussion and treatment plan. As a clinician, we must consider each testosterone supplementation's efficacy, safety, tolerability, pharmacokinetic profile and route, frequency and convenience of administration, and also the side effects. We must also consider the patient preferences and the patient's lifestyle. And the medication selected should be safe, effective, and relatively easy for the patient to use. So as a recent case that I came across in my clinical practice that highlights these issues and really reinforces the importance of considering patient preference and the differences between these short and long-acting formulations when prescribing testosterone therapy. And I'll review that case. And again, this may be a selected case. It may not be the case that everybody sees, but it is an interesting case and does allow for some discussion regarding the different types of treatment. So the clinical case was a 45-year-old police officer, his name was Tom, who presented with the symptoms of hypogonadism, that it was the symptoms were affecting his work and his relationship. He felt that he was lacking some energy. He had lost his sense of vitality. He was somewhat down. His mood was somewhat depressed, and he wasn't interested in his wife as he once was, and not interested in sexual activity as he once was. He had been given a PDE5 inhibitor for his mild erectile dysfunction, which is very common in these instances. Many of our colleagues treat the hypogonadism and the mild erectile dysfunction that accompanies that with a PDE5 or other forms of erectogenic agents, and quite often the ED drug is not successful because it's not geared toward treating the hypogonadism. The medical history, the patient was, again, taking the PDE5 inhibitor. He was using sildenafil 50 milligrams on a PRN basis, as needed for the mild erectile dysfunction, had not experienced much in the way of side effects. No other significant medical history to speak of, otherwise relatively healthy young man came in to see us really because of the issues that were described above. I guess, again, the lack of energy, lost sense of vitality, a little bit of depression or depressed mood, and loss of interest in sexuality, and a little bit of interest, loss of interest in his wife. The physical exam really was unremarkable as well. He was 5'8", weighed about 150. The BMI was about 23, 34 inches in waist, and his blood pressure was 120 over 70. His genitourinary exam was relatively normal. He had normally descended testicles. They were normal size, normal shape, normal position, and no evidence of a varicocele. The testicular consistency was normal as well. His prostate exam was normal for a man of his age, about 40 grams or so, benign, smooth, non-nodular, no asymmetry, no tenderness. So really, you've got a 45-year-old gentleman who had been coming in with symptoms what are consistent with hypogonadism. He said he had these for a good 6 months or so, and he'd been given a low-dose PDE5, sildenafil PRN, and that had really only helped his erection slightly, but not really done much for his hypogonadism. Looking at his questionnaires, the SHIM score, the SHIM is the sexual health inventory for men, was 17, which is a mild erectile dysfunction. So the scoring is 17 to 21 is mild, 12 to 16 is mild to moderate. Moderate is 8 to 11, and severe is 1 to 7. The laboratory results show that his lipid profile was normal. He had a normal serum PSA, and his morning testosterone total was 190, and his repeat one was 240. And many folks like to get 2 a.m. testosterone levels. Many folks are only getting 1. So the patient had mild erectile dysfunction, which had been treated. The erectile dysfunction was characterized as the mild inability to maintain the erection. He had been treated with the PDE5 inhibitor with some modest success, but has not yet been treated for the hypogonadism. And the hypogonadism was really discovered or uncovered by us. The primary care clinician had sort of thought about it to some degree, but the patient really came to see us because of his insistence. He had really been seeing some things on TV about this disease state and wanted to come in for a discussion. We went ahead and ordered the blood work, and he was hypogonadal based on the blood work. And we also tried to get the patient to do the serum testosterone at the same laboratory so that there's no variability using an assay. As far as the treatment plan, we spent a fair amount of time discussing the treatment plan. The patient was offered both the short-term or short-acting testosterone therapies and also longer-acting therapies. He is a policeman, and so he was very concerned about the fact that he was a gel might be on his body for an extended period of time, and because he is in contact with other police officers or perhaps even criminals or perpetrators in close contact, he did not want to have that issue of transference really weighing on his mind. So even though we described and discussed all of the short-acting gels, he was not keen on any of those for that reason. He was also concerned about the transference to his wife and children, and so that was a secondary reason why he was not keen on the gels. We talked about the patches. He had heard about the patches. He was not very interested in the patch again, he's a police officer. Just did not feel that a patch was something he would be comfortable wearing 24/7. Same thing with the buckle preparation. Was not really keen on having something in his gum for an extended period of time. Again, he felt it might detract somehow from his work abilities and did not want to have that in his system. So then we turned our attention to other options. We talked about longer-acting formulations, and he was very interested in those, for some of these could be administered by himself at home, or he would be able to come into the office for an injection, and really found out to be much more attractive. We talked about the short-acting intramuscular testosterone injections, the enanthate and cypionate, and he found those to be quite attractive. For we could start him on that therapy in the office. He or his wife could self-administer at home, and he thought that would be a reasonable way to proceed. Plus, they were short-acting, so if anything went awry, if any of his labs were abnormal or he had some side effects, then he certainly could stop at a moment's notice and have the drug sort of come out of his system pretty quickly. We talked about the long-acting testosterone pellets. He found that to be somewhat attractive, but preferred to stay with the shorter-acting intramuscular injections for the short term because of a variety of issues that we just mentioned above. The discussion did also mention that there was a potential for a new long-acting intramuscular testosterone preparation, which, again, may benefit him because it's easy, perhaps, to administer and very safe and effective. He was found that also to be somewhat attractive, but wanted to get more information about that and wanted to understand a little bit more about that drug as he moved forward. And certainly that's something that we would discuss with him if he felt that the two-week or three-week intramuscular injection preparations were working well and he wanted to move to a longer interval. So I think at this point our discussion was really patient was going to remain on the oral PDE5 inhibitor on a PRN basis. He was probably going to use the IM testosterone just to get a sense of how that was going to work. He was not keen on the gels because of a variety of issues, the transference, his own lifestyle, and the fact that he would have to put it on daily, plus the fact that he was in close contact with a variety of other individuals and did not want to create any issues there. Not keen on the buccal preparation, again, for a variety of reasons. He felt that the intramuscular injections met his needs, was not enthusiastic at the moment about the long-acting pellets, although was open to that discussion, and was somewhat interested in the longer-acting three-month injections if and when they became available. He found that the discussion of what those drugs offered him was very helpful. He thought that the potential for restoration of some of his issues such as the energy and the mood and the sense of vitality and the sexual interest would certainly be of interest to him, and so he went ahead and started on the intramuscular injections. In about 4 weeks, we saw him back. His testosterone level went up nicely to about 310. The SHIM score improved to 21. He felt that he had a fairly renewed energy and increased the level of energy. His stamina improved. His mood improved, and we were going to monitor his PSAs and hematocrits at this visit or at a subsequent visit. And so that's, again, just one specific case which may reflect what people see in their practice and may be a little bit different than what people see in their practices, but certainly this was something that we see quite commonly in my practice. And, again, the discussions here reflected the entire gamut of options to the patient, and the patient and I mutually decided on what we would offer the patient as far as his testosterone replacement therapy. So hopefully this gives you some sense of some of the things that are out there, and hopefully this will give you some guidance as to helping you with your patients. So I appreciate your attention, and I thank you very much.